Hello, this is Women of the Future, a series that is designed to give you some insight, some spiritual wisdom, some impetus for spiritual growth, for development, for carrying yourself into the future in an empowered fashion. Sister Denise is with us in the studio today, and we are at episode 28, where we will be looking at the subject of carrying your trauma. Sister Denise, welcome.
Thank you.
I find the way this topic is phrased interesting, because I would have entitled it managing your trauma, coming to terms with your trauma, or healing from your trauma. And it's very descriptive, carrying your trauma. It's as if you have a baby. That's, you know, the expression that's commonly used in the world, that's your baby. Mm-hmm. Okay, referring not to a physical baby, but something that's become a problem. So, enlighten us, please.
You know, trauma lands on you like a ton of bricks. It sits on your shoulders. It locks itself into your heart. It blinds your reasoning. It invades your stomach, and it takes over your life and directs how you operate, and you can't drop it very easily. So you're carrying it like a baby, you're dragging it behind yourself like a ball and chain. It's really a very terrible thing. And I think that for us to take up this subject has to do with all those things you said. We have to manage it, we have to heal from it. We have to ultimately bid it farewell, so that the shock of it, the shock waves, to become free, it's really a very, very big thing. You know, it only takes a moment for a trauma to happen, but maybe your whole life to become free. Maybe, possibly, more than one life.
Okay, there are far too many women watching you right now who have experienced various kinds of trauma. Could you tell us how somebody who's spiritually mature deals with trauma? I understand that trauma is not something that you could run away from. At some point in your life, you have to face this demon face to face. And the way people deal with it is that we medicate it away, we numb ourselves to it, we pretend it didn't happen, we compensate for it, we overcompensate for it. So how does one deal with the demon itself?
Well, to me, you know, you asked about how does a person of spiritual maturity deal with it. And what I think we would need to say is, once a person begins their spiritual work, they will come up against their trauma, because it's just a barrier. It stands in the way and says, you cannot do your spirituality because I'm in the way, which means you have to face it. And I think that facing trauma needs to be done in a number of stages, because you may face it head on and work through it and okay. And then after some time, it rears its head again, and you have to deal with another part of it or another level of it. And you have to keep on doing that, because a person is fundamentally spiritual, and the trauma will break that, will kill that, will grind it into the dirt. It's really a very, very terrible thing. You know, probably one of the worst for a woman is rape, especially in childhood, you know, because it never, ever goes away. And it's said for a person who's raped that their life is ruined. Well, you know, to ruin somebody's life should carry a very, very heavy sentence. But very often it carries a very light sentence, which means that ruining somebody's life is okay. It's the message, which adds another dimension to that trauma. And if you look at statistics, you find that the sexual violations of young girls, young women are extremely high. And in many, many cases, they're hidden, so the real figures never really come out. There's a lot of shaming of the girl or woman who is sexually violated, and this is the way that the predator protects himself, or in the case of a woman violating a girl, herself, by threatening and shaming and doing all sorts of additional levels of trauma. And then these are carried by that person so that they can never really have intimate relationships. They can never really be a good mother because so much of their womanhood is just broken, poisoned, wrecked, whatever. So it's a really realistic statement. You've ruined somebody's life, but yet it's condoned in our society. So what do you do? It stays with you for your whole life, and you keep on having to mitigate more and more little bits of it as they come to your attention. But when you are not able to see, this is part of my trauma, this character defect is part of my trauma, once you see it, then you can start dealing with it. And it may take the form of your ego defense, whatever it is, but you know, there's so many layers and aspects of it that you may well take it to your grave. Mm. And when in your next birth you pick it up again. It's heavy.
Yeah, it is very heavy. And Sister Denise, listening to you, it's very sobering and so tragic that this is what the world has become. Sister Denise, you know that expression, one can come back from anything. Does it apply to a woman who's been deeply traumatized? Is that real, realistic?
Well, no, I think we have to be optimistic, we have to maintain hope, and we have to say, yes, one can come back from anything, and I do believe that that's true. But what it entails is a huge amount of personal work. It entails a lot of courage, it entails going deep into the dark chasms of the subconscious, which is where the trauma sits and lives.
How do you do that? How do you access your subconscious?
Well, there are ways.
Hmm?
And here we're moving into some of the psychological work, which is a professional area. But in spirituality, it's said you can access your subconscious very, very early in the morning, right before you begin your meditation. It's as if, you know, we do our meditation at 3:30, 4:00 in the morning regularly. That's a particular period of time where the soul is a little bit detached from the body and where you're able to just momentarily access your subconscious. And if you want, you can intend, have that intention that I want to know what's down there. But I think that if you want to do that kind of thing, you have to be a very, very grounded and mature person. So it's not something one would recommend. Another way that people try to access their subconscious is through dreams.
Mm.
Because in dreams, you know, the subconscious mind will come into your awareness in the form of a dream. So there's a lot of dream study that's been done, and a lot of symbolism that's been figured out. And so you may want to look at it there. But I think that anybody who's had a really deep trauma, you know, will need to take professional help. And I think one of the difficulties nowadays is that the community, the psychological, psychiatric community, is now saying that the degree, the extent, the quantity, and the intensity of trauma that people are carrying is outside the range or beyond the capacity of the therapeutic community to do very much about. This is a big tragedy.
Ouch. So what does a woman stand to do in a situation like that?
Well, there's always God.
How do you draw from God to heal a trauma? Is that possible to do that? Is one realistic in thinking that one can use spirituality and specifically one's relationship with God to heal from something so bad? Is going to God just not an escapism?
No, it's a very subtle thing because trauma destroys your honesty.
What does that mean?
It's a strange thing, but trauma destroys your ability to be honest because it cuts your soul to the quick. And so you can, if you trust God, you can reacquire your honesty because of that trust. But you probably wouldn't trust another human being because trauma of the type that we were talking earlier is the total betrayal of one human being to another. And when you are betrayed to that degree, to that extent, it destroys your honesty, destroys your integrity. Integrity is a good word because integrity means whole. So a shattered person isn't whole. So to take all the shattered pieces of a soul, which have disappeared into the far ends of the universe, and bring them back together again and make one whole, is something that is in the power of God, because God is about resonance and your soul is about resonance. So when you are connecting with God, you are resonating in the harmonious way, and you are also resonating with God, and that resonance has the capacity to make all the broken pieces go back to the right place, because the act of God is to bring you to how you were before anything ever happened. That's the restitution, the repairing, the recreation of the soul. And so with a lot of patience, with a lot of trust, with a lot of probably spiritual guidance too, you start to do this, and you need patience because it takes time. It's a vibration. Bring you back to what you were before anything ever happened.
Sister Denise, in terms of dealing with trauma, women employ various tools and techniques that are available to heal from the trauma. One is speaking to a friend. The other is seeking professional help. All of these tools that are used, does it actually help on levels that matter?
Well, that's a difficult word, levels that matter. But I think every little bit helps. And we just have to use everything. Writing work, journaling work, meditation, relaxation, consulting professionals. If you have a trustworthy friend, talking to that friend. You know, there are so many things, and every single bit will help.
I once heard it said that when someone becomes victimized on whatever level, it becomes part of your identity. How does one reestablish one's identity after having been traumatized?
What is your identity? That's the question. Mm. And so spirituality puts you in front of that question. What are you? Which is easier. And who are you? Which is very difficult. And people, of course, don't know who they are. Usually people are defined in terms of their social status, their professional activities, or if they make mistakes. You know, if somebody kills someone, that is a murderer. They might be a surgeon, but they'll stop being called a surgeon. They'll start being called a murderer, you know? And, okay, you're a soul. And something happened to you. You see, spirituality will say this event occurred. And even there is an expression that we use, it happened, but it didn't happen to me. Just
but,
it happened.
But it did happen to you.
Well, it happened. it only happened to you if you think it happened to you, but you can just as easily think it happened because that's what happened. It happened. And you were present. You see, there are a lot of thoughts you can use, actual ideas that you can use. You can recreate the scene of the trauma and say, okay, this is the scene of the trauma, this thing happened, and I am here and I'm still here. This thing happened, it's a historical event. Of course, it was very impactful, but thinking the thought, it happened, but it didn't happen to me, is a way of sort of extracting the roots of that weed from the soil of your soul and getting yourself free from it.
What is it within the male, but in this particular instance, a female psyche, that causes her to hold on to the trauma for life? I'm specifically thinking of this one woman I knew whose baby was killed in a car accident, and in this instance she was driving the car, okay? And although it was technically speaking not her fault that the accident occurred or that the child died, I met her a decade after the incident and she was still highly traumatized, which is totally understandable. And she came to the meditation center to seek assistance, and the first question I asked her is, do you want to get over the trauma of this? And she said, no, I don't. And I said to her, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can say or do for you. I was curious, I'm still curious, as to why we hold on to pain. We, every single intelligent woman watching you right now knows that we have a choice as to whether to hold on to pain or to let it go. Why do we make the wrong choice?
I think it's socialization. I think it's to do with this expression I've been using, toxic conventional morality. You are a mother. Therefore, you have to protect your child. You failed to protect your child, you did a mistake. Whether it's her fault or not, they'll give her that message, and her identity that I am a mother will make her hold on to it, you know. And a mother has a very deep connection with a child. It's very traumatic for a mother to lose a child, and then if she can in her mind make herself responsible for it, it's a big deal for a woman in that situation to, because if she says, I want to get over the trauma of it, it means I want to stop thinking that I failed as a mother. I want to affirm that a mother who fails to protect her child is not a bad mother. I want to affirm that my life is more important than my dead child's life, you know, all sorts of things. It's quite hard for a woman to say, I want to affirm this, you see, because she has to be really solidly in her own self. And I think also spiritual knowledge will help in this a great deal. The spiritual knowledge says, okay, the child came to you. You know, the soul came to you, you gave the child birth, and the amount of time that that child is with you is the extent of role that you have with that soul. And when the role is over, that soul will go away. You see, and that's spiritual knowledge says that. Now, if you can absorb that idea, though it may be very painful, but it's powerful enough to get you past this other problem of I don't want to, I can't let go of this, it enables you to say, oh, is that the case? My part with this soul was only this much. Then I must move on. It's a very different mental attitude than what conventional morality will allow. You see, so you have to really go against that, which takes a lot of courage and a lot of solidity in your own self.
you are saying that a woman can overcome any trauma.
Probably not just by herself with her own resources, probably not, because people are very weak right now.
Okay.
But if she has the right resources, support, whether it's from the community or from God, whatever it is.
Okay. And following that, her ability to do so has to come from inside her, where she makes the decision, I will put this behind me, become stronger as a result, and move on.
Yeah, but she has to decide that. It's a decision. It's a choice.
That's crucial. I think the problem that a lot of women have is that they do not feel that they have that choice. They think that the trauma is so all-consuming and all-definitive that it has more power than them.
So they've given away their power.
Okay.
And I think the importance of spirituality is that it gives you a way to take back your power.
In this context, contextualize how one does that in this context.
Well, again, you know, it happened. You have to, I suppose, there may be an element of self-forgiveness. See, sometimes people say, I can't forgive myself.
Oh, that is so beautiful. It is so beautiful, just hearing you say that. What is self-forgiveness?
That it's okay. This happened, it's okay. It doesn't, you know, I'm okay.
That is big. So, Sister Denise, even though the victim may have been 100% innocent in a situation of being a victim, self-forgiveness is part of the healing process?
Yeah, I think so.
There's so few women who know that.
And so few women who are willing to do it, because the conventional society says what you are is unforgivable, let alone what you did is unforgivable, or what happened to you makes you a bad person, you know. And so you have to pull yourself away from all of these ideas which come from the toxic, conventional, in most cases patriarchal morality, which is just somebody made it up, you know. And so it doesn't necessarily have the relevance that they would like it to.
Well, that is, you know, one of those bombs that you drop that is exceptionally powerful. So self-forgiveness is a liberation?
Oh, yes, it frees you from the whole story, you know, and then you're here and the story is there and it becomes part of the historical record, but it doesn't have to follow you, you know, you can lay it to rest.
Provided that you're willing.
Well, you have to make the choice and you have to forgive yourself and permit yourself to make the choice and honor your immortality. You know, when people think they're a soul and they're immortal and they belong to God and all the other people are too, you're dealing with roles. You're dealing with the, you know, dramatic situations. And when you put it in that dimension, your reality is more real than its reality, which is transient. Because that baby who died took rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
baby who came from another birth, you see. So nothing happened to the person, something happened to the body.
Yeah. When you traumatize, Sister Denise, it's so hard to see.
Well, that's why I think with your own resources, it's maybe not enough. And it's really good to have support, spiritual support, psychological support, medical support, family support, friend support, all kinds of support to give the person a message which is not so harsh as the conventional morality likes to give. Because conventional morality is stacked against women by definition.
Okay, Sister Denise, I think that dose is as strong as one could manage for one afternoon's of viewing. So thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for the amazing insight and wisdom that you have shared with us today. So there you have it. This is a very painful subject for many of you watching. I hope that Sister Denise has shared something that you could use in your life to heal, to recover, and to empower yourself. This is not a subject that's easy to listen to. It's not something that we would enjoy watching. However, it is meant to help you to give back your power. And well, we're all different, so different things impact on us. But what sat the deepest with me today, what I've got the most from today's talk, is when Sister Denise spoke of self-forgiveness. We keep running the scripts in our mind, if only I did, or if only I didn't, dot, dot, dot. We tend to blame ourselves and then stay the victim for life, even though the incident happened once. So Sister Denise has spoken about self-forgiveness, which I think is an absolute gem to have in the context of carrying trauma. I hope that you heal from whatever trauma you may be carrying. I thank you for joining us, and I do hope to see you for the next episode. Take care and goodbye.